Good morning. God bless you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. Since Peg's awesome teaching titled The Gathering Together, the last time we met, I've been thinking and mulling over the idea of last words, specifically Jesus' last words to his disciples before he left earth. You see, the last words spoken by a person are important, especially when they are intended to convey the speaker's desire for the listeners. Movies, literature, songs are often written with last words being either the central point or at least a major idea. Take the movie Citizen Kane, arguably one of the greatest movies ever made. And I would say that without the last words, Rosebud, spoken by Kane, Rosebud, the movie would have been a lot less significant. In fact, every time I leave my house, I want my last words to Peg to convey to her how much I love her and how much I cherish her, just in case I don't make it back. Well, today we're going to look at some last words spoken and written by great men of God. My hope is that we will be inspired, encouraged, edified, and motivated by them. So please, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. This section of scripture is Moses' last words to the children of Israel before he fell asleep. And we'll pick it up in verse 26 after he has called the leaders or called the people together and blessed the individual tribes of Israel. We're not going to go into those specifically, but we're going to pick it up in verse 26. He said, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Man, imagine, here's the man that's been leading you 40 years through the wilderness, ups and downs, good times, bad times, led you out of captivity, promised you that the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has given you a land flowing with milk and honey. And here you are, you're at the edge of it, getting ready to go into that promised land. And the man of God who's led you all those times, who brought forth water from a rock and called upon God to rain down manna from heaven. And when you got tired of the manna from heaven, called upon God and God sent doves for you guys to eat. And here he is standing before you, pronouncing this blessing, but also reminding you that everything with God begins with worshiping God for who he is. His majesty, how often we need to remind ourselves of how great our Father is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy, majestic, wonderful is your name. And then, as you know, he goes up to the mountain, Mount Nebo, and there he fell asleep. And he was... God carried him all that way, and his eye was not dimmed, nor natural force abated. Amazing. It says in verse 5 of chapter 34, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of God, the word of the Lord, and he buried him. God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knows of his sepulcher unto this day. and goes on to talk to him and about Moses. In verse 10, it says, God speaks of Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And even on those terms, Moses, the last words were words of praise and helping the people be inspired to go in and take the promised land. Let's go to 1 Chronicles, please. Chapter 29. This is the record of David, King David, coming to the end of his days and pronouncing his last words to Israel and to Judah. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. It says, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Those words are so inspiring, so full. It's almost like they just fill your being, your soul just drinks those words in. And they, because they're speaking of a majestic, loving, awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And David, coming to the end of his days, last words in front of the congregation are words of praise and worship. Those should be the words we speak all the time, so that they're on our lips, they're in our heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know from the Psalms that David was full of worship for the God Almighty. Full, you read those Psalms, they just overflow with tenderness and love and compassion and reliance and dependence upon the God of Israel, his God. It says, verse 14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all the store that we have prepared to build thee an house, for in thine holy name comes of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in thine imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. Man, oh man. So much worship was just flowing. And we know, if you know the record of David, he was weak and couldn't get warm and tired as his days wound to an end. But yet he had the presence of mind to not only worship God Almighty, but to lift his people, lift the congregation to God and say, these your people, help them to be faithful unto you. Help them to continue to worship you, to follow your ways. And then, because he knew his son was going to take over Solomon, he lifted his son and said, Lord, please help my son to be a good king, to follow your ways. Man, that was inspiring. Last words. Can you imagine Solomon, who knows his father is going to fall asleep with the and sleep with the fathers of the past, of the old, is hearing these words. And what an example. What an example to Solomon. So powerful. And then he slept with the fathers. Well, let's look at Jesus' words. We're going to go to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. So many times we think of what life would be had we lived back then. I think of this. What life would be to have been Peter or Luke or Matthias or any of the cats who were running around with Lazarus, any of the guys who were running around with Jesus. We hear that, we see records, we can imagine what they went through when he was being crucified and being beaten and crucified for us all, and how they, Isaiah says that the disciples, the people turned their heads. It was just so hard to behold the man that walked in such glory and love and tenderness, so beaten and deformed by the beatings that they turned their heads, and then he dies, and you're like, man, I thought, I don't, you know, just the pain of losing your master, your rabbi, your Lord. And then he gets up again. And then he's going to tell you that he's going to be leaving again, right? But these words that he gives to his people. And we're going to read them, some of them pretty tight together, because it seems to a nice flow to go from Mark to Luke to Acts. And it's all of them have a record of the same time. They say different things, but I believe they build on one another to give us an idea of Jesus' last words before he, as Peg likes to say, sandals in the sky. So I'm not there yet. Mark 16. In Mark 16, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world. Now, they had been pretty much in a pretty confined area, Israel. And now he's saying to go into all the world, which was, you know, when you're traveling by foot, or by burro or horse, if you really had it going on, maybe a cart, to go into all the world was a pretty tall order, you know. But Jesus had big vision, right? Because his vision was given to him by the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the almost too good to be true news, to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Put before people the choice. We have such awesome bumper stickers that a believer made on our counter upstairs. And it says, "Be blessed now, ask me how." What a great open door to witness to the good news. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Well, there are people who don't want to be blessed. And those people, you just move on. Just, hey, you don't want to be blessed? Okay, but I'm going to stay blessed, so I'll see you later. You know what I'm saying? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, or in my authority I send you forth, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the signs that should follow. And I've shared with you guys before how much this is a witness to, are we believing? Excuse me. Are we believing? Are we walking in faith? Are we walking according to our Lord's last words? Flip on over to Luke chapter 24. Let's take a look at Luke 24. Same day, same time, just more, adding some more to it. Verse 44, he said unto them these last words before he took off. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I just want to unpack that just a little bit. That verse just popped out to me when I was getting prepared to share this word with you. Then opened he their understanding. Can you imagine? I think of that record of the two cats on the road to Emmaus and how he opened their understanding. Then opened he their, can you imagine having the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our brother, our King, open our understanding? That's something we should pray for, we should long for. In fact, we should go to the scriptures with the belief that God, through his Son, our Lord, the head of the body, through our Holy Spirit, will open our understanding whenever we go to the scriptures or whenever we are walking in his name, in his authority, in his way, doing his will that he pronounces with his last words before he takes off. Going forth into all the world, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and so on. Anyway, verse 46, he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued, clothed, covered with power from on high." And let's go to Acts. I mean, they already experienced some power when he sent them out earlier. But he said that you're going to be endued, you're going to be clothed, you're going to be covered with this power. Acts chapter 1. and being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which we just read about in Luke. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He's talked about the comforter and the one that's going to walk beside you and to guide you and reveal all truth unto you, that's going to strengthen you, that's going to hold you, help you to heal and to go forth and be empowered to carry forth the gospel message. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with pneumahagion, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And I'm not going to talk about what a kind of a quasi-knucklehead question that was, but he doesn't even deal with it. He just says, yo, man, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Let's get back on point here. Let's get back on topic here. I just said you're going to be baptized with Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's get back on the topic. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what power is for. That's what the Holy Spirit, yes, it is part of the new birth. Yes, it is the eternal power that energizes, that causes our body. It is now the life of our body. It is that which holds us all together as a body of Christ. But it is also the power that carries us to be witnesses. It is that power that people should be seeing. That is the witness. It is the witness that Christ is raised, that Christ reigns on high, that's sitting on the right hand of the Father. It is that Holy Ghost that causes us, should be seen, and causes us to be witnesses. And when he had spoken these things, his last words, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You can do whatever kind of computer graphics in your mind you want with that. And it's pretty amazing, the image I have. I don't really have them blasting off like a rocket ship, like really fast, but, you know, decent in order, but with some purpose. I don't see him waving, you know, just kind of, but I see him rising with purpose. But I see him, not only do I see them looking up, but I see him looking down, you know, with love and care and concern. Even though he probably, he knew that he was going to be, because he said, whatever two are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst. So I think he had an idea of how he was going to be able to still be with us spiritually, on that spiritual plane. But anyway, it's cool to think about these things. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, so they were able to watch him going up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Didn't the Lord just give you some instructions? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, those words that Jesus spoke, those last words that Jesus spoke before he said, are very inspired, very motivating, very edifying. They should do so much for us. They have, as I've thought about this, mulled over this idea, these concepts of the last words, these couple weeks now. They've inspired me. They've given me some clarity as to what I should be speaking, what I should be doing. Let's wrap up with Paul. Paul's last words in 2 Timothy. Okay. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. And these are Paul's last words, written words, because Timothy was someplace else, a different part of the world, the area. And Paul was writing these words to Timothy, who is recorded that he had no one that was so like-minded with him save Timothy. Timothy was, he called him his son at one time, I believe. Timothy and Paul had a special love for one another, for the word, for the purposes of the word, the purposes of moving the gospel, conveying the power, the things of fulfilling the words of Jesus' last words and going to into all the world, proclaiming the good news, healing people. And so Paul was coming to the end of his days where he was going to fall asleep, and he was writing these words to Timothy. In verse 1 it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Again, reiterating what Jesus the Lord said. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, continue to hold. You got to picture Paul. He's got to have so much concern for what's going to happen when I go. I've been the guy, one of the main guys moving this word over Asia Minor. What's going to happen? And Timothy, will Timothy be able to hold on? I want to get him, build him up, and give him that last. My last words. I want my last words to carry some gravitas to Timothy, something for him to hold on to after I've gone. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's warning Timothy. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, you be aware, you watch out, in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Was Paul perfect? No, we know he's made mistakes. He was a man. He made mistakes. He did a lot of great things. But he was a man. He made mistakes. But in all, the Lord conveyed to him that he had fought a good fight. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Boy, there's a time that I looked forward and I wanted eternal life and wanted, you know, paradise and all the stuff that was going to happen after Christ returns. Part of me was like, man, you know, what's going to happen at the Bema and that kind of thing? But hey, you know, we're faithful. We do what we got to do to be faithful, hold forth the word. Hey, man, we should love his appearing. We look forward to it. We get that crown, right? Right on, man. Lay it on me. And then we get to lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Can you imagine? He doesn't know how long, or maybe he has an idea, but he's exhorting him, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Another, quickly, I want to see you before I fall asleep. I want to lay eyes on you again. And then he goes on to list a bunch of people that forsake him, and we don't really need to go over that, but let's pick it up in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. See, even he lists a bunch of people that did him wrong. that hurt him. And there was a bunch of people that they beat him and they got him arrested and caused a whole bunch of legal and pain for Paul. He could have said, you know, get back at them, whatever. And sometimes, and he did say for some of them that, hey, they're going to have to answer for what they did. But he says, but he's still said some compassion there, I think. That's how I let not be laid to the charge. But just said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, people, like I said earlier, when I walk out of the house, I want Peg to know that I love her more than anything and anyone else on this plane. And, you know, the last words that people speak to us, and I think that we've seen what Moses said to Israel, what David said to the children of the congregation of Israel and Judah, and to his son Solomon, what Jesus said to his disciples, more than the 12, but the group of disciples that were there when he ascended into heaven, and now Paul sharing with Timothy, these last words, we should hold on to them, because the people who are speaking them could say anything. They could say, yo, man, it was cool, deuces, catch on a flip-flop. They could have said anything, right? Is there some of those cats were going to die that day or shortly thereafter, fall asleep in the Lord. And so they could have said anything, but they were inspired by the true God to continue to their last dying breath to inspire those that heard these last words. Are last words important? I'd say so. We've seen that they can set a nation on a new course, hence going into the promised land, or crown a king as David did to Solomon, or start a movement that changes the course of history like Jesus did with his last words, go forth and preach unto all the nations, or convey the love one has for another as Paul did and how much he wishes to see the other, Timothy. Our Lord Jesus spoke his last words to his disciples, me and you. We can run like Paul and the others or not. It's a choice. But that choice, I believe, will determine Jesus' first words when he sees us. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. How about you? Heavenly Father, I've done my best to share your word about last words and how important they are, how they are meant to inspire us, to propel us, to motivate us to do thy will. I ask that you bring the increase of the words that have gone forth in this teaching, that you bless them, you bless the hearers, help them to be inspired by them and to do your will in a greater way. I love you, I thank you for all these things. Through our living Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.